Hashtag blessed. How many of you would dare raise your hand and go public and say, I'm living a blessed life? Anyone want to join me right now? I'm living a blessed life. You probably are, because the numbers tell us that on our global family of over 7.5 billion people, at least 2 billion people live on $3 a day or less. So once again, if you know that you're blessed, raise your hand right now. You are. Thank God for America and the opportunity to worship the Lord in this great place. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand for what He has done for our lives. This whole series is going to elevate your awareness of blessing and how to live in it and move in it and enjoy it and use it for His glory and radiate from your personality that you are a blessed person because you're aligned with the things of God. Now, we want you to know that even though most people consider blessings in terms of how much money they have or the things that they possess, it's much deeper than that. Ephesians 1 and 3. You got to get this verse. I would highly recommend that you memorize this verse. This is one that needs to go in your toolbox. Praise be to the Lord and Savior of praise be to God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now lean in on this. Who has blessed us in heavenly realms with what? Say that a little bit bolder. With what? Now, this version says has. I kind of like the King James. It says hath. And it's talking about this blessing is past tense. He has already done it. Now, this would be the crime of your life. This would be a mistake. If God, through His Son Jesus, has already established all these blessings and you lived naive of what they were. As we look at that verse again, and we keep seeing that before us, not only has He blessed us in the past, notice it's in heavenly dimensions. And we live on a horizontal plane here, and we see blessings here. But there's a blessing realm this way that you don't get at first. So the more you get into the Lord and seek first His kingdom, these invisible heavenly dimensions move into your life, and not only are they past tense waiting for you to grab, not only are they supernatural, invisible, but they are spiritual in dimension. Life is mental, it's physical, it's relational, it's emotional, but you want to move in to a totally blessed life, then you've got to be there. So spiritually, God can bless you. I hope you don't mind, but I want to prophesy over your life just a bit. I want to predict a few things. If you'll love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, I believe I know where you're going. You're headed toward blessing. You're headed toward favor. You're headed to open heaven in front of your life. I see it all over you. I believe it with all my heart. Now, if you know anything about living in blessing, I want to ask you to do something. Listen to people who appear to be blessed that you think are sincere. People learn how to live in a blessed realm. You ought to take note of them. You ought to pay attention to them. Doesn't mean everything about their life's perfect. But when you meet someone and you go, wow, there's truly a richness of blessing on them, take note. I was reading at a little restaurant about blessings this week, kind of getting ready for this, and I read something I want to share with you. I think this is really rich. This writer said the richest person on the planet today, and you know, you could call some names, is not the person that has the most wealth, but the richest person on the planet is whoever it is, and you could be a candidate for this, who derives the most pleasure by the least of things. Gayla's got a girlfriend back in Arkansas, and her sister brought her over for dinner, and this lady actually is probably, possibly, a child. Howard Hughes could be her dad. You can have all the money in the world, but you can still miss out on living a blessed life. Now, once you get Ephesians 1 and 3, thanks be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing, then you really want to appropriate Deuteronomy chapter 28 in your life. And in these two slides, there are seven blessings. And I want you to declare it over your future, over Atlanta, over your future family, your career, your children that's coming. And every time I say the word bless or blessing, I want you to join. And every time, I want you to say it a little bolder, a little stronger, a little bit more dynamic. Okay, here we go. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commandments that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world, and you will experience all these. If you obey the Lord your God, your towns and your cities and your fields will be blessed. Oh, you're doing it great. Your children and your crops, what's going to happen? Blessed. I'll take some of that. Your offspring of your herds and the flocks will be blessed. The fruit of your baskets and your breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, stop right there. That's pretty important. Because it doesn't even say, when you only move under divine direction will you be blessed. It's when wherever you go, whatever you do, hang on just a little bit. He's saying, you don't have to hit God's will, perfect, exact, dynamic every time, to still living blessing. But because you choose to open up to the full magnificent, manifold dimension of blessing, that wherever you go and whatever you do, you bring blessing into the place. Whoever hires you next, they ought to get excited about it, because you're about to walk in and bless the whole house. Because wherever you go and whatever you do, you are going to be blessed. Come on, help me out now. We're almost done. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. Oh, it will come. They will attack you from one direction, but guess what's going to happen? They're going to run away from you in seven other directions. The Lord will, we've already heard that, guarantee a blessing on everything you do until your storehouses with the Lord's grain. The Lord will bless you in the land. Oh man, if you want a whole lot of that, would you put your hands together and thank God for it? I want it. I want to live in it. Now, I want to tell you, when I first got here, I heard about a gentleman and his wife and family that loved this church and blessed the church. And so I said, hey, I want to meet you. And many of you know Alfredo and Diana Ortiz. And I had breakfast with Alfredo. And he's over in D.C. a lot, in New York a lot, and he's just a gentleman. Diane, his wife and daughter, they just live in blessing. They love to bless the Lord. I was talking to him this week because he's been on national news a lot, and he's a member of this church, and he just told me that when he got his eye on Diana, this is what he did. He's a very highly intelligent guy. One of his first dates was to take his new girlfriend, Diana, to her favorite kind of church. Guys, put it down. If you want to make inroads with the gal, go to her favorite church. And so, you know, it wasn't his thing, but she enjoyed it, and they fell in love, and she had a career and had a super path, and he noticed she started tithing, and he told me on our first breakfast, I couldn't say anything to her because she was earning that money, but I just saw God bless her and shower her. And so he started doing it, and he's blessed, and the family's blessed, and the church is blessed. The Bible says, if you'll do that, I'll bless you in the city, and I'll bless you in the country. And our brother went to the city, the Big Apple, this week, and it was kind of funny. He called me, and I talked to him. I've been keeping track with him. And, you know, he has an organization where he tries to work real hard to create jobs and to make sure that you have an opportunity to take what you earn and let your treasure be invested out of your own heart into the charities and the things you want to. And he put a billboard. One of his partners said, hey, for $4,500, we can have a billboard. He said, oh, well, they did it. And the billboard was so powerful in Times Square promoting job growth that the company and the store that the billboard was on asked them to take it down because the crowds were so big. And the advertising agency said, we need to move the billboard because people can't get into the business here. But if you'll let us move, we'll give you two bigger billboards in the middle of Times Square. And they're bigger, they're better, and we won't charge you for anything, not even for the first billboard. A Bible says, when you honor the Lord, I'll bless you in the country. I'll bless you in the Big Apple. I'll bless you in Times Square. On your breadboards and on your billboards, I will bless you as you honor me. I'm here to tell you, honor the Lord, live in blessing, and just see what Almighty God does. Well, let's just go on a little survey of blessing. Look, what does the Bible say? Psalms 84 says this. This is a good one. Blessed are they who dwell in his house. How many of you have enjoyed this? And they are always praising him. I want to think about this a moment. The Bible says, I want you to catch three words. There's a synergy here. There's blessings. There's the house of the Lord. There's dwelling or frequency or longevity. Dwelling means not just to, you know, run in and out, but dwell. And there's praise. Tell me, what inaugurates what? Does going to the church catalyst praise, and praise creates the blessing? Or does the blessing comes from going to church, and as you dwell there, you start praising more? Well, I don't know what comes first, the chicken or the egg. I don't know if it's you go to church, dwell there, the blessings come, then you start praising. Or when you start praising, that's when blessings come and you want to. I don't know. But I know this, if you will dwell in the house of the Lord, you will be blessed. Your family will be blessed in many dimensions. Notice what another verse, just a little walk through the blessings of life. What is it? Let's go to Psalms 94. You know what it says? It says this, blessed is the one you discipline. The Lord will teach you the law. And the scriptures after that, it talks about, I'm going to bless you by disciplining you, because when you get hit in the mouth with the real world chapters of life, you're ready. You've allowed my commandments to teach you. And even when you're a little like squeezing, like you're under tension because the Lord's, okay, now let's step this up a little bit. You're even blessed during the times of discipline because he's getting you ready for prime time. How many of you want to be ready for prime time? I like what Coach Saban does. Those tied players say the easiest time of the week is on Saturday afternoon when they're playing their opponent, because living with Saban the rest of the week is tough. I want to tell you something. Sometimes you need to know the Lord's taking his word and he's convicting you and he's challenging you and he's molding you. Why? Because Saturday's coming and he wants you to win the first quarter right off the bat. Let's move on a little. What's some other blessings? We've got to get to this one. Romans chapter 4. This is where blessings start. It says, blessed is the man or the woman or the teenager, the young adult, whose sin the Lord never counts against them. Look me between the eye. You were not built by God to live in shame. You know those times when you blow it and you feel gunk on the front of your face about 5 miles thick, you weren't built for that. And here's where happiness starts. When you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and you're not ashamed to call him Lord, and you're following after him, and you know that his blood has taken away your sin, and that is the baseline of why you're happy. I'm happy. I'm blessed in manifold ways. I got a foxy, gorgeous wife that I'm still crazy about. She's amazing. I got daughters that I'm just blown away by. I get to be your pastor. I live in a beautiful city. I got so many blessings I don't want to bore you with, but I want to tell you, you know where my blessing baseline is? I get up every morning. I stretch out, go after my coffee, and I say, this is a blessed day because I'm saved. I'm born again. My sins are gone. There's no record of my failures, and that is my, and I got to be happy. I got to be happy from that point on. Well, let's just move on. If you don't mind, let's move on to the test of blessing. The test of blessing. There is a test of blessing that we need to get to. Here's a statement that I want you to know. The key to a blessed life in Christ is making sure that you live with a heart of generosity. That is the combination to this blessed journey of checking yourself, testing yourself. Do I live with generosity pouring out of my life? Luke chapter 16. Now, this is very important. Jesus said this. He said, whoever can be trusted with a little bit. If you can pass that litmus test of taking care of a little bit, I'll make you a manager over more. Little bit counts. A lot of times we have a little bit, we say, when is a little bit going to grow? Can you say amen to that? But if you can't be trusted with a little, how are you going to be trusted at the next level? So, little bit, medium bit, getting you larger, getting you ready for the next day. It's all a process, all a journey. And I want you to catch the last line because this is profound and this is rich. Look what Jesus said. He said, if you have not been a champion of worldly wealth, how can you be trusted with, help me out, church, true riches? And there's not a person in this room that understands what true riches mean. Think about eternity. Think about the depth of the solar system and the galaxy. I love it when they find more space and deeper dimensions of the universe and cosmos because I know my Father created all of that. And when we get to heaven, and even in this life, there are dimensions of true riches that are predicated on you being a good steward of earthly riches and the things of life. Listen to what Jesus said over in Matthew. Matthew, I think it's chapter 6. This is a very, very powerful verse. He said, no one can serve two masters because there's a battle going on. Two different voices of authority cannot rule the day in your life. And he goes on to say, you're either going to be devoted to one and hate the other, or you're going to serve one and disobey the other. And he makes a powerful statement. You can't trust your master God the same time you're being owned by money. Now, the King James says the word mammon. You can't be devoted. I love the word devoted. It's the word devoted in 1 Corinthians 16:15. The King James is translated addicted. You're going to be addicted to one or the other. So in your young life, at your stage right now, are you going to be addicted to the Father's rule? Or the voice of mammon? Little note on mammon. Mammon was a real positive word, Hebrew word when it started off. It meant things that you were entrusted with. In fact, it said you, the ancient law said, you should be and consider your neighbor's property as sacred as your own. And it was a good thing. It was what you were entrusted with. But over time, the meaning of that word changed in the vernacular from meaning what you were entrusted with to that which you trust. Mammon was the stuff you had that God gave you, that he put trust in your trust. But then when you get a little bit of it and you start shining it and staring, all of a sudden you start trusting in that more than God. Then as we notice, as I was talking about so many people like Howard Hughes, I don't know how Howard Hughes finished his life, but riches make false statements to you when they try to rule your life. They claim, riches will tell you this. They'll tell you that, you know, they give you what? Freedom, they give you power, they give you significance, they give you some security, but they can't do it. They can't do it like God can. God can give you security. Look what Malachi chapter 3 says. It says to a group of people who were not honoring the Lord, their marriages were falling apart, the economy was in shambles, they were bringing to God broken down coal, produce, and animals. And the Lord said, I want you to do something. I want you to put me to a test. I want you to bring the tithe, the best first fruit from your harvest, from your herd, and bring it to me. And notice what God says. He says, put me to a test and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and bless you in ways that you can. You've heard this so many times and times. Last night, Pastor Dave was preaching. I went up and to hear him. It was just a great service. And he made this statement, and I loved it. He said, you know, the only test I was concerned about in school were the ones I were going to fail, the ones I was going to struggle with. But the tests that I knew I was going to ace, I just bow my shoulders and say, bring it on. Have you ever walked into a classroom and you said, I got this. And Pastor Dave Devine was bragging about all the subjects that he was just so good in. He said, spelling, I had it. Great speller. Well, good for you, Pastor Dave. Then he goes to math. Oh, I'm great at math. And I begin to go through my subjects. And after the service, I went up to him. I said, great message, Pastor, but I know you're confident when you know you can pass the test, but I don't know what subject I can use that illustration with. He says, well, what did you do good in high school in? And I thought about it. I told him, reading defensive ends. And if I can indulge myself just for a moment, or you, I was really good at reading defensive ends. And you need to listen to what I'm about to tell you, because you run an option play as well. I'd get out of the center in high school and college. I'd get the ball and I took one step and I'd put it in the fullback's belly and I would ride it. And as soon as I would pull it up, the defensive end would be streaking to attack me unblocked. Now, the opposing team always put their baddest explosive athlete at defensive end to protect the edges. I was quarterback, I'd run, either way I would go, and I would either give it to the fullback. If I pulled it to the fullback, unblocked, this defensive end was unblocked. You see, we could have, our players didn't have to be as good as the other team's players because we didn't block all of them. We double-teamed other guys, and we let these two defensive ends attack me. And on the first play of every game, it was like the coach said, we're going to run this option play. It's going to be our best against their best. And I knew what was going on. I was going to snap the ball, and that guy was going to run right through me. Some of the greatest lessons I've ever learned about life was in this moment. Right, boom, boom. Or boom, boom. Boom. Because you're living a boom, boom moment. It's an option. You see, as you're doing this, you can't even see your running back. He's back here behind you, and this guy is running, and he's going to take you out unblocked. And in the last second, you got to know that running back is going to be where he promised he would be. And as you come, you take a step and you pitch him the ball as this guy hits you in the mouth. And these defensive ends, they were devils. It's just like the devil coming, you know. And I'm going to tell you, I've learned a lot right here. Split second, boom, boom. The devil come hit you in the mouth. And I learned, if I get tense and nervous when this guy hits me, when my tense body hits a hard ground and this guy drives me in the ground, it's going to hurt bad. But if I just relax and just go limp, just pitch it out to the person who's supposed to have it, he can take me down the ground. And when I'm down there, you know, that devil gets down in your face and he starts talking to you. I'm going to kill you. You ever heard the devil tell you that? You're not going to make it to the fourth quarter. I'm bad news. Those guys used to talk about my godly mother in ways that I would never share. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter. Because the devil, that defensive end, would give me his best shot, but I had the option. I flipped it out to the one who could score. And while I was laying on my back and the devil or the defensive end was saying all this stuff and all this talk, it didn't matter to me because I was listening in the stands and I could hear my side of the stadium. They was jumping. They were shouting. They were on their feet because our little running back was going about 30 yards, 20 yards. They were scoring. And I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what you take at the point of attack if you end up winning the final game, and that's what it means to put the Lord to a test. Come on, somebody. And I was in line at Southwest Airlines last month, and this big old strong handsome guy was behind me in zone C or B, and I looked at him, never met him before, and I said, are you a defensive end? He says, yes, how do you know that? And I said, I've met a few of you guys. And he looked at little old me and he said, were you a quarterback? And I said, yes. He said, yeah, I've met a few of you guys too. But the test is not about us winning that boom, boom moment of will we pitch our tithe to God and let him score. You know what I love? They could bring anything they wanted to at me. What I like is sitting on the sidelines in the fourth quarter. We're so far ahead, I'm not even have to sweat it anymore. and everything the devil said at me in the first play or the first quarter, the second play, it doesn't matter. I don't have to play another down because we've racked up so many touchdowns. Hallelujah. We've already secured the game. I want you to know, when you honor the Lord with the tithe, you are going to score. You're going to win. And the end of the game is going to declare you win for the glory of God. Now let me share you something. I want you to put your hands together real quickly. I want you to see what bringing the tithe into the storehouse is all about. We got a beautiful illustration from Leviticus chapter 27. I want you to put your hands together for my team that's going to help me up here right now. And look at Leviticus chapter 27. We're going to have just a little visual here of the option play of honoring the Lord and putting the Lord to the test. It's not your test, it's the Lord's test. He said, I will win this test. You test me. I will win this test. I win this test. I win this test. And notice what Leviticus says. It says, a tithe is everything the land or the fruit trees or your crops produce. Just come on, y'all come on, help me out right here. Okay, and right now, this is what Leviticus is talking about. This is everything that your life is producing. And notice what Proverbs chapter 3 says. The tithe is not only what all your life produces, but it is the first fruits of your wealth. And so what the Lord is saying, I'm going to give you 10 of these winter watermelons. They're all yours. Oh, but the first one over here, that's mine. Guess what you get to do? You get to keep. 9, and it just keeps coming. Come on. So, and the next, and the Lord, he brings us an abundance of cauliflower. Have you discovered what they're doing with this these days? I can't stand it. Cauliflower pizza. At my home, my girls serve me cauliflower mashed potatoes. They tried to serve me last night cauliflower tater tots. I'm glad to give God a tenth. And then he gives you a cluster of bananas. Look, y'all just keep coming, okay? All right, so just keep coming. Don't wait on me. Y'all just bring it up. So he says, I'm going to give you 10, but just one tenth, okay, and apples. And that is awesome. But you think, well, I don't know if I can do the tenth thing, but come on, let's go. I don't know if I can do that, but look, we can't hardly even contain. So the Lord says, I'm going to give you all of this harvest and all of these blessings and all this savory fruit. Is that it, or is there more? Keep going. Okay, some lemons, and you know, I mean, how many times has life been sour, and you just gave that little sour part back to the Lord, and he made something delicious out of it, you know? And you know, oh, that's what he does, and I love these things, and oranges, and these little halos, I put them in the refrigerator. And the Lord says, I don't have to have all of them, Danny. I just want the first. I just want the first. Give me the first. Is that it? Is this all of it? Okay, so, and just bring it on. We're good. Just come on. These people want to go to lunch someday. Amen? So just okay. So we've got the pineapple. We've got the pineapple. And the Lord's saying, listen, you can have all the smoothies. You know, you've got 90% smoothie opportunity right here, you know? And then my wife can take these things. They are called. Gayla is just drooling over this right now. She wants to take it. But the Lord says, I don't need all of them. I just want one tenth. And broccoli, but put this, everybody get them up, put them up there, all right. You know, you think maybe God likes broccoli. And then we finish all up, we're done, and the Lord just says, I want to give you all the blessings of your crops and all the blessings of your journey and all the blessings of your hard work. You can have it. You can have it. All I want you to do is all of your days on the first day of the week in percentage to your income, give me the first, give me the best, and I will supernaturally bless and cause it to overflow in your life. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a hand. This is putting the Lord to the test. And what you got to understand, I hope you don't ever forget this, is that when you dare go here, when you do, something happens with this. Supernatural management skills. God begins to lead you to people that can help you grow this. You begin to meet people who live holy and dynamic lives where you just watch them and there's an open heaven in front of them and above them, and you start saying, my goodness, if I will give the Lord my first and my best, He will open the windows of heaven on me and favor will start coming up. Now you got to choose. It's one of these bang bang. It's one of these boom boom plays, because the devil's coming and said, I'm going to kill you. You're going to starve to death. You can't pay your bills. But you just throw the little option to the Lord and let Him run for the score. Hallelujah. And let God bring the victory to your household. And you say the rest of your life, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. 3 points. I've said all that to give you 3 points. Real quick. Number one, when you honor the Lord with your tithe, the beauty of your days, the beauty of your hard work and the pressure that you go through, it provides for God's work to go forth. Can't even keep up with all that. To build the Lord's work around the world. You don't even know what your tithe and offering does around here. You don't know. I sit behind a closed door counseling broken people. Tears coming down their faces while you're wondering if you're going to get home in time to take care of the kids. And I'm seeing what your life is doing. I'm seeing people that can come in brokenness and bondage and marriages hanging by a thread, and without price, without a fee, the Word of God and the gifts of the Holy Spirit move into that counseling session and God do a work as you see restoration take place. I want to tell you, I don't want God's tenth. I want Him to have it, because I want the Church of Jesus Christ to be powerful and dynamic. When you give the Lord the first and the best, you know what you do? You clearly say, the Lord's first in my life. I left it. Boom. Devil comes. Defensive end. Boom. Didn't matter. Doesn't matter what happens here. Doesn't matter what the fall. Doesn't matter what he says. Boom. No. I've already flipped the first and the best to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And all I got to do is just hear the home team get on their feet and celebrate the favor and the blessings of God. When you make that choice there, you're saying, doesn't matter what I feel in my head, doesn't matter about the criticism that comes my way, doesn't matter about the critique of people that don't know my motives. Doesn't matter, because my first tenth is in the hands of the Lord, and I've proven the Lord is number uno in my life, number one, and the devil can't take that away from me. Hallelujah. I have made that decision. And finally, when you honor the Lord with your tithe, you grow your faith. You grow your faith. I wish all of you young adults could fall in love with senior citizens in this church like I have. You know what they tell me about you? Do ministry for them. Have music for them. Preach for them. Strategize for them. Because we've already proven the Lord can take little things and turn it into much. And our faith has grown so much, we're not here for what we get. We're here for what the next generation has waiting for them as they walk into the... Come on, somebody, give praise to the Lord. When you live this way, you move into this realm that's beyond what's rational. It's supernatural. And the Lord says, come on. Come on. Test me. Test me. Pastor Dave's good at spelling. Pastor Dave's good at math. Pastor Danny lives in the past. But I always win the test of blessing the tithe. And if you test me, you will live your life #blessed. God doesn't ask you to do it without doing it himself. Romans says God commended his love toward you, and that while you were yet a sinner, the Father sent his Son so you could be free from your sin. He said, I'm going to give my Son ahead. He's my best. He's my first. He's my only begotten, and I'm going to give it to you in your failure and in your shame and your embarrassment, but I'm going to have a blessing of seeing you have a relationship with me for the rest of your day. He doesn't ask you to do anything. God doesn't ask you to do anything. He had already done by giving us his Son. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. You're here and you say, Pastor Danny, I need to take advantage of that gift from God. I need forgiveness in my life. I need forgiveness in my life. There's some compromise, some sin on my face, there's some shame, and I want my blessing baseline to be, I know I'm clean before the Lord. Monday, I want you to wake up and say, I know I'm running after Jesus. Blessed is the man whose sins are not counted against him. If you're here right now and you say, I want my happiness, my blessed life to be built on the fact that I know I'm forgiven. If you're here right now and you need forgiveness, you need to make a fresh commitment to Christ, I'm going to count to three, and with all humility in your soul, I want you to quickly raise your hand to heaven. Are you ready? One, two, three. Just raise your hand right now. Thank you. Thank you. Hands are going up. Thank you for your humility. Just keep them up for a moment. Hallelujah. Now I want everyone to pray this prayer with me. Not just the people that raise their hand, but everyone. Okay, you can put your hands down now. There's so many. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me by giving your only begotten Son first. Before I told you I needed him, you gave him to me. I receive his forgiveness into my life. I want to live a blessed life. Forgive me of my many sins. Teach me what it means to be a Christ follower. I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name. How many of you have had a great time today in the Lord? Oh, it's been so much fun. We got more blessed days ahead. Don't miss the next 2 weeks.